So we have been talking about this for the last couple months, being members of one another, being a family. What does it mean to be a family, the body of Christ? And we're going to be going around the circle, so to speak. My first idea was to put one of those up at a time as we hit them once a month, the different smaller one another, submit to one another, serve one another, etc. But then I found out the stickiness on the back of the things would not last that long. You had to put them up within 90 days. So they're all up there, and we'll just refer to them as we go. It looks better all together anyways, doesn't it? So, good. So, we have talked about a number of different things. I just want to see how good your memories are. If I hold this up, can you tell me what this is about? That's good, but not what I'm looking for. There's something missing on this one. Can you see that? And what is needed? Thank you. Every part is needed. When I hold this one up, that's what we say. One, two, three.
Every part is needed.
That was weak. Okay. One, two, three.
Every part is needed.
Awesome. Awesome. Good. Now, Lucian, you guys remember this one? You remember this one? Okay, that's good. Not alone. It took two. It took Lucian to throw me the ball. We are a team. And what does it take to win? You only win as a team. That's what this one signifies. Are you with me again? One, two, three. We will only win as a team. Very good. Very good. We're getting somewhere now. Okay. Now, you remember this one? Yeah. Yes. Well done. I didn't have to. Oh, you got cheat notes from last time. Look at you. Good for you. And you got notes on the bottom of that. Someone used a paper. That made my day. Good job, Ruth. Thank you. Thank you. So we got to go deeper. One, two, three. We got to go deeper. Awesome. Awesome. So last one. Let's throw it this way, Gary, in case we miss. Okay. Lucas, you got it? Okay, someone's got it. Jonah, here we go. Nice, nice, right there. Boom. That was much better depth perception than me. And this one was the easy one. You remember this one? Good, Jared. One, two, three.
This is
a football. What did that signify? Remember what that was all about? Back to basics. Back to basics. Okay, so focusing on the basics in order that we grow as a family, we mature together in love, we're able to stand up to the attacks of the enemy, and we're able to be effective in our call to share love and hope with others. Okay, we have put these on a wall as a reminder. We'll be speaking about each one. And the hope is that we recapture the sense that church is not just something that we attend or consume. It's something that we are, that has life and vitality. I read not long ago a Lifeway research. They come out with all these surveys, and they said that they were surveying why people left church. And 60% of those that leave church do so for very simple reasons. They're not overly offended. They're not just sick of it or done with it or some of those things. They simply have a change in life situation. They got too busy. Family, homework situations prevented church attendance. The kids started playing soccer. Job schedule changed. My mom got sick. And it all comes from the belief that church is something we do. It's an option. Something to do if there is time and life doesn't get in the way. And you know they're absolutely right. If that's what it is, if it's only a service, something to attend, something to be consumed, they're bang on. And for whatever part we have played in that, we need to ask the Lord's forgiveness. I believe that. But if you could pop that slide up for me, Pete, that first one. If Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 is an indicator, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. If the church is about being members of one another, about a body that needs each other in order to function, if it's about family, encouragement, accountability, fellowship, communion, all those things, if it's life together in Christ, if it's about experiencing the fullness of him, catching a glimpse of the very nature of God, that's why he put us here together. That's why you're married to your spouse. That's why you have kids. Catch a glimpse of his nature, this incredible God. If that's the case, then it's of utmost importance. And I just want to say that there is a future, there is a hope, and that there is a destiny for this place. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. It's a cry. It's a cry from a deep place. I have to have you, Jesus. Come. May your glory be seen by how we love one another, how we do this thing together. And you know, it's going to require us to go deeper. It's going to require us to be vulnerable with one another. How many sermons have you heard on James 5? If we pray for one another and confess our sins to one another, we'll be healed. Have you heard a lot of sermons on that one? We don't like to talk about it too much. It's a little scary. I'm not sure if I want to confess my sins to one another. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take us going deeper, opening up. And you know what? We don't know how to do it. I don't know if it's safe. I don't know how I'll be received. So it's easier to withdraw. Just stay back a little bit. So we need to learn to do these things, that we know that it's safe, that we can't enter in. And we don't have to figure it out here first. It comes from in here, from the inside out. Is it safe to release that cry? You know, I've come to those desperate places in my life when I just have nothing left. I have no more answers. And they're always the beginning of new life. I've come to that place in my marriage when Christine said, "That's it, Daniel. I'm gone." I've come to it with my children. I don't know what to do anymore, Jesus. All I have left is a cry. Come, Jesus, I need you. I have no more answers. That's the beginning of him coming and his life popping out from inside me and him bringing peace and order, wisdom and grace that I do not have. So coming into the new year, we are going to set aside a week starting January 6th to 13th where we're going to just make time to cry out to him corporately. We come to the Holy Spirit and say, "Lord, what do you have for us? How do we do this thing together?" Roger's going to be talking a little bit about that this morning and sharing his heart on that. And then on January 6th, that's a Sunday, we'll be sharing more details about what that week looks like. But we'll having every day, I think afternoon, morning, and evening, or I'm not sure, Roger. I can't remember. We'll see how it all goes. But every day that week, we'll have opportunity to come and cry out to the Holy Spirit together to release what's inside. And I just have a short video talking about what's inside and allowing Holy Spirit to touch that and walk with him. So can you play that video for me? And then right after the video is done, this is just a little bit of a precursor. Then Roger's going to come up here and take the rest of the time and continue to share a little bit of our heart for the first week in January and what God has placed there. You got it ready? Okay, here we go. Nice and loud.
Listen, if you try and I try to change ourselves, we will be tired. I mean, straight up exhausted, y'all. I'm telling you, there is nothing you or I could do to change ourselves. But listen, we're beautiful enough to him. We are his masterpiece. We are his workmanship. It is his goal as the artist to hang with us long enough till we look just like Jesus. It is his work in us. His best work, his finest work is you. It's you. His patience, his long-suffering nature endures with us forever. You cannot wear God out. Have you ever wondered how popcorn pops? Somebody say yes. I'm so glad you want to know. So when you have a kernel of popcorn, that hard little shelled kernel of corn, inside every kernel there is a microscopic drop of water. And so when you put a bag of microwave popcorn into the microwave, what the heat in the microwave is doing is not actually heating up the shell, it's heating up that microscopic dot of water that is inside the shell. So that microscopic dot of water begins to create steam, and the steam begins to press against the shell. And as it continues to heat up, it presses more and more powerfully until finally it pops. So the outside looks completely different from the inside, not because the outside was heated up, but because what was in the inside was heated up. So this is what happens. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. And if you try to heat yourself up from the outside in, you're working against the dynamic of what the Holy Spirit was designed to do. But as you cooperate with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, by renewing your mind with the Word of God, fellowshipping with believers in Christ, being obedient to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, remaining filled by His Spirit every single day, as you do that, you heat up the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And He begins to press and press against the shell of your body, so much so till eventually you pop and you look completely different than you used to look. So then you come home from the conference and your family goes, who's that? Who's that? Who is that? But not only do you look completely different, but I don't know about y'all, movie popcorn is my favorite snack of all time. Put some butter and some salt on that, I'm just happy. Thank you, Jesus. Put a Coke with it. Ooh, girl. So when you come home, not only do you look different, but then we are fed to a lost and dying world that needs to see our God as good.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel, and thank you for that clip. This is one of the mighty women of God that God is raising up. We heard one last Sunday with Sylvia and the previous Sunday on adoption. God is raising up people that convey the Father's heart for the vulnerable and the marginalized and the broken. That's our call. I think Bonnie has put that clip on our Facebook page in the church. Thank you, Bonnie. I wonder if you could just put up that scripture one more time. That Daniel referred to earlier. I'd like to point out something. We've read this scripture many, many, many times, but I wonder if we really grasp what it's saying here, that God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything, to be head over how much?
Everything.
And that's why we are trying to project a vision that it's more than just attending church on Sunday. You know, if God is the head over everything, if he's the Lord of all creation, that means he is the Lord of all government. He is the Lord of every business. He is the Lord of the educational system. He is the Lord of everything, because in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And without him, we're pretty ignorant. We're pretty dumb. Apart from the wisdom that comes from Christ, the head. And it says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills how much?
Everything
in every way, or everything everywhere. Now, 40 years ago, when this church was planted in the year 1978, the issue at that time was the individual filling of the Holy Spirit. If you want to understand what the importance of the filling of the Holy Spirit is, I believe it's this way, that every born-again believer has the Holy Spirit. And the born-again experience is really the inflow of divine life. But the baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit is the outflow of what every believer has. Now, many of us, we've been born again, and we have experienced a measure of a release of what's inside of us, but not yet to the extent that we are filling everything in every way. Do you believe there's, the Bible talks about not just filling of individual believers, but it talks about the presence of God filling whole communities and even whole nations. And so we are being challenged this morning to lift our vision higher to something greater, because in our individual feeling, in our individualism, we still tend to stay disconnected and isolated. Because what is in us, we have to learn how to flow as a many-membered body in a way that we harmonize. See, outside of Christ, if we let out what's inside of us, we're going to clash. We're going to just disagree. We're going to find, hey, so we just keep it all inside and we stay quiet. But I shared at the First Nations Family Worship Center last Sunday night. And you know how First Nations, like everyone else, is trying to find their voice. But I said, the real voice we need to release is that voice that comes out of our spirit. It's not just a voice that comes out of our mind. And I just like, so I challenged them, and I just released a sound. I say, now you harmonize with me. You flow with me. And then they began to sing. I'm just going to put it out there this morning. If I release a sound, forget who's all around you, but release a sound that comes out of your spirit in a way that harmonizes, in a way that symphonizes, you know. The church is to be like an orchestra. There's a synergy that produces an effect that's greater than the sum of the individual parts. So I'm just going to release a sound, and I'm just going to ask you to flow with me. If you have a sound, you can release a similar sound. You can release a different sound, but let's do it in a way that harmonizes. We're starting. You notice the children over here. They are getting. We're still not arrived by any sense, but we are starting to flow. It's a blessing to watch these children flow together with a worship team in a way that is in unity with the worship team when we make our voice to be heard as one. So let's just do that this morning, shall we? I'm just going to release a sound, and you can just flow with me any way you want. Amen. 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 That was beautiful. But I want you to understand that when we release a sound like that, that you are finding your voice in the presence of God, that's where freedom comes. It's not going to come to us. It's going to come, as we heard in the tape, from the inside of you. It's there. The presence of God is there in every one of us. But Your spirit can speak a language. It can release a sound. It can release a voice, just like your mind. Too often we give each other a piece of our mind. But what we need to do is give people a slice of heaven with a voice of thanksgiving and a voice of praise. Talking about filling whole communities, last night I was at the Niverville CMC Church. The place was just packed as Armando Taves, who works for the Bristol Hauling, the garbage collection agency in town. And they just released a worship album. And they released, and they had drums, they had keyboards, they had guitars, the whole works, at the Niverville CMC Church last night. And Armando leads worship there now at least twice every month. And they produced this beautiful album. And I talked to Willie Taves, who is our owner of Bristol Hauling, who subsidized this tape, you know. And I said, it's hard for us to imagine how something so beautiful as this worship tape could come from a business that collects garbage. But out of that business, something beautiful was birthed. The week before that, I was at Word of Life, and we had a great evening of worship again. But this is something that's coming from within, I think, every church. And I believe God is going to fill all of Niverville with people. We're not the only ones, but God's going to fill our community with people that are using their voice to praise God and to bring attention to what God is doing on the earth. Because as Daniel started out the service, God is doing something which is greater than all the things that are going on externally in the world. Now let's get into the teaching that I have to share, and I'll just try to run through this as quickly as I can. If you can get that up there, Peter, that'd be great. The scripture, you notice the insert in your bulletin also has these same scriptures that Daniel's been speaking about from Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. And I didn't even know when I prepared this, and it's in your bulletin insert, and it's up on the wall. And I didn't orchestrate that. I didn't arrange to have this put up. There are other parts of the body, but I think God is saying something to us, that we are members one of the other. I'm going to read this in three different translations. Romans 12:5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of the other. Or so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Or one further translation says, in the same way, even though we are many individuals, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to one another. How do we connect? That's why Daniel's saying we got to go deeper. It's in the deepest part of us where the Holy Spirit lives. And that part of us needs to be released. But it's so easy to find our voice when we speak our mind. But can we find our voice, our spiritual voice, which is the real you? And that's why we have had the message of identity preached so strongly, because God is leading us somewhere on this foundation. Now, here's a question. If Christ has baptized us as individuals into one body, as members of one another, and if we are connected to each other through him, and if our recreated spirit is so joined to the Holy Spirit that we become one spirit with him, like it says in the scripture on the right, 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord becomes what? One spirit with him. Our spirit and his spirit, so joined together, it's like one spirit. That's why in many verses in the New Testament, the translator hardly knew, do I capitalize spirit to mean the Holy Spirit, or do I use small letter S to mean the human spirit? But here it says the two are joined to be one spirit. That's a spiritual, and that's our identity in Christ, that we've been hearing time after time, Sunday, through different voices, different ministries. They are speaking with one voice. Now, Why do we so then so often feel isolated and disconnected from other members of the body of Christ, with whom our spirit connects, with the same Holy Spirit, the Spirit that cries out to God as our Heavenly Father? Notice in Romans 8, 16 and 17, we've heard this verse so many times, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Our identity as sons of the Heavenly Father is foundational and basic to our inheritance and our destiny as sons. Notice that Romans 8, 16 is present tense. Right now, we are the sons of God in our recreated spirit. Our spirit bearing witness with his spirit that this is so. This is our true identity. But Romans 8, 17 looks to the future. And it says, as sons, we are heirs of a father who owns everything, and he has willed all that he has to his children. We have a future inheritance that we have not yet fully inherited, everything that he has promised. And as heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, to share in his glory and to reign with him over the creation. As Jeff was referring to this morning, at the Advent season, what are we still waiting for? You know, we're waiting for something. Amen. That is goes beyond what we see with our eye right now. I remember it was 30 years ago. I was telling Dave Dirksen this morning when his aunt, Betsy Fry, sat right up in this platform. And when she stood up to teach the word, she said, God spoke to me while I was sitting there in this platform. And he told me that this church has a glorious destiny. And if you know you got a destiny, you're going to go through whatever you got to go through without losing your faith. Because you believe there's a purpose, even in the things you suffer, there's a purpose in it that results in a greater glory and a greater manifestation of the overcoming power of the gospel. That we are not going to be those that are overcome by evil, but those who overcome evil with good. Now, in Galatians 4, 6 and 7, here again, Galatians 4, 6 speaks of our present identity, but notice that our spirit is still crying out to Abba Father for something. It says our spirit is still crying, Abba Father. What are we crying out for? Your spirit is in you. The spirit of sonship that's in you is crying out. And Galatians 4, 7 speaks again of our inheritance as an heir of God. I believe that we are crying out for our full inheritance. If you're a son, you have a father that's given you some promises, and he's given you an inheritance that includes everything. There's nothing he has that he's kept back. He said, it's for my children. And we long to see that. We long to see the earth filled with a father's glory. We sang that song 30 years ago, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Fill this land with what? With the glory of the Father. We've been singing that. Yeah. And that those were prophetic songs that are preparing the way for what is on the Father's heart. We're crying out for our inheritance as a son of God to do what? To rule and to reign with Christ, rather than to be dominated and controlled by external pressures and stresses that suppress by other human beings, pressures and stresses that suppress, or by other human beings that oppress. It's a cry for freedom from the oppression imposed upon us by external circumstances and by any unjust rulers of this age, where if we experience that pressure of injustice, that we're not treated fairly, what do? We lift our voice, and then we're going to complain. We're going to blame those leaders. We're going to blame the circumstances. It's not my fault, you know? And that's the language that comes out of our mind if we look only externally. But Jesus said the kingdom of God is going to come from where? The kingdom of God is inside of you. The presence of God is inside of you. Now, I wonder, I'm sorry you don't see the first line there, but what it says up there is that a wise father will not give the full inheritance of all that he has and owns to his son, who is immature and would therefore simply squander the inheritance. We have to learn how to handle the authority of the kingdom of heaven. So we use it to bless people instead of to tear them down and cause more hurt and more damage. That's the training we're under. We have to, there's a discipline in training our minds to follow the leading of the Spirit rather than the leading of the voices out there that are so negative. And I tell you, I listen to Question Period in the House of Commons quite a bit, and it can get pretty discouraging to see that there's so much putting down of one another instead of the building of each other up, that we all have something of value. And so God is dealing with my own heart in some of these areas. With Israel, God called his son out of Egypt, out of a kingdom of slavery and external control. Think of it. But he still had to take Egyptian or enslaved, victimized thinking out of them before he could lead them into the land of their inheritance or into their promised land. And I believe that we're, even as congregations here in Niverville, we're coming to a place we need to make decisions. Do we want to stay in the wilderness where we murmur and grumble, complain if we don't like what other people are doing? Or are we going to go in and trust God and inherit the promises that God has given to us as sons and daughters? Notice that instead of moving forward in faith and trust, a whole generation did not go into the promised land because they murmured, grumbled, and complained when their faith was tried rather than to believe in the promises of God. And when we grumble and complain, we can easily accuse and abuse other people while we excuse ourselves. We can too easily dump on others, especially rulers and authority figures, and blame them for our trials, but not take personal responsibility for our own interior world. That is the one freedom that no one can take from you. What are you going to, what am I going to internalize? And what am I going to believe in spite of what I see around me? And so maturity comes how? With the acceptance of responsibility for our internal attitudes in spite of whatever external pressures we may be experiencing. Now here's a statement that I was with Marty McLean, who we licensed here a year and a half ago. Daniel's been doing some work with him and some of his people in the church he started in Winnipeg. And he recently had a speaker by the name of Caleb Cooper, a speaker of the Encounter Weekend they had just last month in November. And he made this statement. It's right on Facebook. He says, "True unity and synergenetic revival is marked by leaders that bless, encourage, labor, and mobilize people in ministries, denominations, and fellowships that they have no control over." He said, "Insecurity is a choice weapon of hell." Now think of it. This is foreign to the way most of us tend to think, that I can have influence over ministries and over other churches and denominations that I have no control over. Now, think of that. Some of you may say, well, leaders have to exercise some control, otherwise there will be chaos. And so I would tend to agree. However, I would add that people need control only to the degree that they are immature and are unwilling to take responsibility for their own decisions and to exercise the fruit of the Spirit that is called what? Self-control. This is what God is after. He's not coming for a bunch of spiritual babies that need to be controlled. He's coming for a church that is mature and that is willing to take responsibility for their own internal world. This is the same as what it means to govern ourselves, to govern our own thoughts, to govern our emotions, to govern our choices by the power of what? Of the Spirit. We're all going through this. None of us have arrived. I'm still facing challenges in my own personal life to bring the areas of my body and of my mind and my emotions that are not yet fully under the control of the Spirit, where if I let my body rule, our body is a wonderful servant, but it's a beast of a master. It's the same thing with our mind. Those parts of us were not designed to rule us. Your spirit man. And Daniel preached a great message on this 2 or 3 weeks ago about the mind being a wonderful gift, but it does not define who you are. What is your identity? But notice that only a self-controlled, self-governed believer who is submitted to Christ can govern in the kingdom of God, because the government of God flows, as we heard it in the message. I didn't have anything to do with this clip that Daniel played, but it says right here, the government of God flows from the inside out, not from the outside in. You're hearing this confirmed through many different witnesses that are saying the same truth. The point is that in order to have true unity in the church must grow up and come under the government of God in our personal lives. Only in the kingdom of God is there both freedom and order, because the kingdom of God is comprised of mature sons who grow up to become like their heavenly Father. The kingdoms of this world are destined to become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and this is why he will reign forever, because it is the only kingdom that does not bypass the heart and that relies upon internal control from within by the power of the Holy Spirit. All other government is temporary, and this is why civil governments are called temporal governments, because they rely upon external control and they keep the people under them in a perpetual state of immaturity and perpetual babyhood, because they pass external laws by which they try to control what will happen. And this has not produced a mature society. So the governments of this age cannot do this. There are three types of government. The state is the most important. One is that the state is the most important factor in society. This leads to the suppression of individual freedom, where there will be an imposed order, but with little to no freedom. And this ultimately leads to a police state, otherwise known as a dictatorship or a tyranny. The second type is where the individual is the most important factor in society. In the short term, this is an improvement on statism, but without self-control, individuals will not take responsibility for their actions, all the while demanding more and more freedom to live selfishly. The autonomous self leads to libertarian freedom and license, but without social order, and therefore it ultimately leads to chaos and anarchy. And you can see every nation that has fallen from within. It has destroyed itself along the lines of selfishness and self-interest and not willing to flow together as many members of one another. This is so crucial for the church being a light in the darkness of this world. Now, the third type of government is where the Christ is the most important factor in society. And this is the government that transforms the hearts and the interior world of individuals and societies. And when the external world comes under the influence of the internal world of the Holy Spirit to transform lives, it allows for both freedom and order to come together. And this is what ultimately leads to the manifestation of the kingdom of God upon the earth. Now, so when I talk about the need for self-control and the power to control our thoughts and emotions, I'm not talking about a disagreement with another person, even a strong disagreement, which is sometimes necessary and often courageous. But I'm talking about releasing our upset, frustrated internal world in a way that erupts without self-control, and it uses anger to intimidate and control. If I don't get my way, I'm going to get angry. You better back off, or I'm going to do something to you. I'm working with people in the ministry right now where this is an issue. And where intimidating, controlling tactics are being used, and I said,
You know, we have many choices to make in life, but one thing where there is no option, we have to loose, we have to release each other. If you're going to be in the kingdom of God, you cannot insist that others do things your way without using some sort of intimidating, controlling factor. And so, so I'm talking about releasing our upset, frustrated internal world in a way that erupts without self-control, that uses anger to intimidate and control others, and to demean the dignity of humans who are each created in the image and likeness of God. You know, I have a lot of areas where I disagree with our present government in Ottawa. But I am also appalled when I hear language being used, abusive language, toward our prime minister that demeans him as a human being. You know? And we're going to get into that a bit here. In getting rid of our spiritual baggage, our burdens, and our garbage, God has designed a way for us to release our emotions, our feelings, our frustrations, our anger, our sense of being upset with what is happening in the world around us. We can too easily add to the injustice in the world if we routinely dump on other members of our family or on governing authorities. As self-governed believers, we are first of all exhorted to make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority. Notice the 8th verse of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Says that I want that men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. God has created our physical bodies in such a way that we eliminate our waste by going to the washroom privately rather than in public. Similarly, there is a legitimate and a godly way to release our angry and our bitter emotions, our frustrations, our anxieties, our insecurities, and our depression in intercession. This often has to be done in private, unless we are with a group of mature believers who will not allow a negative spirit to rule, and intercessors who are interceding for people and not against them. This is every time the Bible talks about intercession, it says Jesus is making intercession for us. Thank God. Oh, if he was my prosecutor instead of my defender, I wouldn't have a hope. I could not defend myself in my own righteousness, but because he is my righteousness and he is my defender, and he's interceding for me, I can stand in the presence of God, and I can make my petitions known. In releasing and letting go of our unresolved internal cares, conflicts, frustrations, fears, and insecurities to a Father who can be trusted, we start to release a cry for Abba, Father. We pour out our hearts before him in intercession, releasing a spirit cry for freedom. And the heavy weight of God's glory deep inside of us starts to push back against the external pressures and to allow the spirit of sonship to arise deep from the inside of us, as Ruth uses the expression, freeing the joy. That joy is in a deeper part of you than your frustrations. And to get to the water in a well, you've got to dig deep sometimes to get to where that refreshing. And Jesus said, those who believe in him will be like this well of water that keeps springing up into everlasting life, springing up with joy, springing up with the peace of God, and prophetically shifting the atmosphere wherever we go to one of peace instead of one of conflict. So it says, O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. In Christ, who strengthens us, we are stronger than our circumstances. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens with me. Our inheritance will not be given to us on a silver platter just because we are born again. Yes, all born again believers will go to heaven. But we are talking here about our inheritance. Do we want the inheritance? Or just want to go to heaven after you die? That's a vital question every one of us need to answer. This involves coming to a place where we rule and reign with Christ in the midst of demonic attacks here on earth. as we grow up into Christ as fellow heirs of his kingdom. We're in Christ, we both are and are becoming the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the victor and not the victim, even in the midst of adversity and trying circumstances. Listen, only our Father can give us this inheritance. No human being can give it to us, because the inheritance is for those who exercise their spirit man to become overcomers. The Father knows to what degree we are mature enough to wisely exercise the spiritual authority that we have already been given, so that he can give us more responsibility in his kingdom. This inheritance is already ours in the spirit realm, but our soul, that is our mind, our emotions and will, are presently being saved so that we can enforce that victory first and foremost over our own soul and over our own negative fault-finding thinking, as if we were victims of the external world. Our inward spirit of sonship is releasing a cry. It is crying out for freedom. It is a cry for the inheritance. It's crying out for the grace to rule and to reign in life, over circumstances, over old attitudes, through the one, Jesus Christ, even in the midst of the storms and adversity in the world around us. Paul talked to the Galatians about how as sons they were now free from the yoke of the law. But when he saw them going back to self-effort as a mechanism to develop what had begun in the Spirit, what did he do? He gave himself to ongoing intercession. He said the spirit of sonship in him cried out in verse 4 of Galatians 4, but then he cried out for their freedom. A few verses down in verse 19, he described the intercession and birth pangs he was going through in order to see the freedom in Christ formed in them. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I think I'm just going to take it that far. We will take this up again probably the first Sunday in January. But I just want us to conclude this. This first week in January, it's not a concert. It's not a conference, but it's a cry. A cry from the deepest part of us. And I have to challenge myself continually to go deeper so I don't let the surface things control me or cause me to be discouraged or to give up. And God is raising up a mighty army of overcomers who are finding their voice, that are going to declare the word of God to this generation. And so we have an invitation to be a part of that. And we're going to see as we release what is in our spirit, there's going to be a greater connection, a greater flowing together in harmony. And next time I want to get into that more to show you how, like that word for agreement in Matthew 16 is really the word for a symphony or an orchestra that is harmonizing, each part adding something to the whole. And in the book of Acts, that's what they did when they lifted up their voice. When they were being persecuted, whatever, they didn't complain about the authorities. They went to their company and they lifted up their voice with one accord. The Bible says the place was shaken and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I want that part of us to rise up, that we'll be bold, even in times of persecution, to speak the word of God and not the lies of the enemy that put down other human beings. So let's just close this morning. Looking forward to our party a little bit later tonight. Before we go, Daniel, would you be open to maybe just lead us in a closing song? And if you need to leave, you're free to go anytime. But I just like to give us this opportunity, like we started out the service today, just to release our sound, release our spirit. As I said at one of our last congregational meetings, we as a congregation are at a time when we need to pray in the Spirit, we need to sing in the Spirit, we need to worship in the Spirit more. Because then our mind will be it'll be informed by God's perspective. what he sees through the finished work of the cross. And that changes the way we see everything, so we can be as lights in this dark world. Amen.
Can I just add something before you close?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And just pray that they just...
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah. Amen. Let's just cry out, God. Amen. Right now I lift up. Thank you for these are our family, God. These are part of our family. And they are part of us. When one member is suffering, we all feel the pain. But I thank you that no matter what we see, that Jesus has defeated our enemies. And so, Lord, we just release our spirit now in prayer to you. Sometimes it's too deep for words. We can't even articulate sometimes in words exactly what we want to express from deep inside, but we release our spirit now. Ooh, yeah. Amen. Up the Cron family right now. We go to your throne room, oh God, on their behalf. Oh God, we stand on the ground of your victory, of your finished work. To the person next to you, if you will, as we sing this to the Lord. We are his children.
No longer
a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. And I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. song, 'cause I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Thank you, Jesus.
I am a child of God.
Yes.
And I'm no
longer a slave to fear. Child of God. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh. You split the sea so I could walk right through it.
Yeah, amen.
My fears are drowning.
Perfect love. Hallelujah. The love of the Father has been bestowed upon us. We're the children of God.
Stand and say,
I am a child of God. Yeah.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and say, I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Yeah.
Woo. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
'Cause I'm no longer. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
You know that our spirit within us cries out, Abba, Father?
Yeah. Yeah,
Abba. It cries out, Abba Father.
Yes.
It doesn't whisper out, Abba Father.
No. That's right. Yeah.
There's so many things Roger talked about today, guys, that are so crucial to the expression.
Yeah.
To being loud, to declaring, to crying out. You know, there's a message in this whole thing coming down. I can feel it. I've been studying how they oppressed societies in the past. The Russian, the Soviets, the National Socialist Party in Germany. Did you know that, this is heavy, but did you know the Jews walked into the chambers? You know they walked onto the, they just walked onto them, onto the trains that took them to their slaughter. Because they were broken.
Yeah. Wow.
Society is set up by the darkness to oppress you.
Yep.
To keep you silent.
Yep.
To keep you from being loud. To keep you from speaking truth. To keep you to hide your opinion. To hide your truth. To hide the light that's in you. To keep you from shining.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God within you cries out, Abba, Father.
Yep.
And I know it can feel so weird, guys. I know it can feel so unnatural. Our culture doesn't do this. And we don't, it's like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. But I want us to just yell.
Yeah, wow. Amen.
Because you know that the world needs men and women who will shout at the darkness, who will face the monster, who will go to bat for the weak.
Yeah. Amen.
And it takes guts, and it takes righteous indignation, and it takes not being silent. And I think the enemy has scared a lot of us into our shells to keep quiet, to keep it hidden, to not show it. And there's a poet, he wrote, do not go silent into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Don't walk into the gas chamber.
Wow.
Don't board that train to destruction. Rage against that. Rage against the darkness.
Yeah.
And it requires a heat inside of you that the systems in the world and the enemy and the darkness have been training us to keep that hidden.
Yep.
And you fight that by speaking truth, by declaring, by expressing yourself, by music, by art, by beauty, by relationship, by being truthful, by being what's inside of you and letting that thing out. Rivers of living water pile out of your stomach.
Yeah.
It's real. So we're just going to shout Jesus, and if it's uncomfortable and it feels weird, knock that off. Because we need to break out sometimes.
Yeah.
We actually need to break out. It's called breakthrough, not piddle through.
Yeah, yeah.
Not, you know, trip over through. It's breakthrough. It requires force. It requires heat. It requires energy.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to count to three, and we're just going to shout Jesus and shout it. And if you don't want to, shout it. And if it feels weird, shout it. Break through that timidity. Break through that lie. Break through that shield that's keeping you in, okay? Because we need you. The world needs you. It needs you to have that heat and to speak truth into whatever situation you're in.
Amen.
Yeah. To break through, okay?
Yeah.
Right. One, two, three.
Jesus!
We're going to rage against the dying of the light. We won't go silently.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, God. You see what Jesus did?
Yeah.
Jesus came into the darkness and he raged against it. He was light. He didn't remain silent. He didn't hide himself in his room and pray.
Yeah.
He got into the streets. He got into the darkest of the darkest people's lives.
Yeah.
And he brought light. And the monsters raged back, but he raged even brighter. You've got that in you, guys. It's so powerful. And as we enter this Christmas season, there's so much stuff comes up. It can be a wonderful time of year, and it can be an emotional time of year.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
But you have that heat, you have the potential, you have that life in you to rage against that. The powers of darkness that are trying to just squish you.
Wow.
Shout. Just shout it, man. It's so good.
Yeah.
Because Jesus came and he shouted in our darkness. And
amen.
Look at the light and the fruit that's coming to this world through that.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. So what we're doing is creating an atmosphere where there's the freedom of the Spirit for what is in our spirit to be unleashed. And I'm so glad we have somebody in our congregation that is willing to stand up to sexual slavery. Too many of us are just silent. Look the other way. It's too uncomfortable. God bless you, Sylvia, for being one that's found the boldness to stand up and say, this is wrong and we will not tolerate it. Thank God for people like Lisa who is getting connected. Franklin Graham is starting to release the body. It's not just the one man, Billy Graham's voice anymore, but there's many parts of the body that are standing up to injustice and where people are suffering. Every one of us has a place in this. But it's going to come out of this heart cry unto the Father. Because in our Father's house, there is a place for you. There's a place for me. And in his Father's house, there's music, there's dancing, and there's much rejoicing. So this is going to be a great time for the church to arise. Amen. So listen, I apologize we've gone as long as we have. But listen, if you want prayer, if you've been battling isolation, disconnection, or if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit in a fresh way, we need to keep being filled with, please come forward for prayer, and we'll be happy to pray with you. So God bless you, and be released, And if you want to sing a song yet, Daniel, it's up to you, but be released and linger for a while longer if you are able to or want to. Thank you.